Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Shout to the heart, and you're too late, but if you give love a bad name. And everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Ben, or as my son Nick likes to call it, Paint Patrick's Day.
Paint Patrick's Day.
Paint Patrick's Day.
How do you celebrate Paint Patrick's Day in the Carlin household?
Typically not like tremendously by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I'm wearing green right now.
Have you contemplated going and purchasing a full sized keg and injecting some liquid food coloring inside of it and then rolling said keg around and then having green brewski beers?
Just having green brewski beers with everyone. Just carry the keg around with me.
Naturally.
Famously movable objects. Yeah. Full kegs.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Not only will you be making so many new friends, but you'll be getting so strong at the same time.
Exactly. That is a true fact. Nothing ever made me realize how not strong I was than having a keg at a party in college, like getting some with your roommates, and then like two of you like heaving it indoors and trying to put it on ice versus if you happen to be at a party where any member of the Virginia Tech football team was there and they could easily like one arm it up the stairs by themselves.
Yeah.
And you were like, you people are in a whole different world of strength. Like, I don't even think I'm that weak, but man, I am.
I think really they're just that strong.
They are just that strong. Yes.
But it is in a completely unfathomable difference in like scope.
Yes.
You know, like there's a, I had this moment once upon a time where I was with my college girlfriend on the river. And we were going through, it was on the James River, and there's this like spot that where there's like a very famous waterfall called Balcony Falls.
Yes.
And we were there during a period of time where the water was very low, which in general, it's funny, like when you think of like rapids, because you would think like the water being really high would make it like scarier. But the reality is that that means that the water is higher above the rocks.
Yeah.
And so it's like easier to avoid things.
Yeah.
And so I had this occasion where I wrapped the canoe around this massive rock.
Yeah. Hit a rock, somehow wrapped around it.
Yes. I mean, to the point where like the canoe was bent in half like a bow and arrow. Like, I mean, it was
right.
It was literally wrapped around both sides and water was pouring into the canoe at all times, meaning you've got an entire volume's worth of canoe full of water. And the girl that I was dating, I had her like positioned up on top of the rock, just sitting in like the, you know, borderline fetal position. And then I'm in the water like, you know, such a, when I look back on it, I'm always like, this is probably one of the more dangerous situations I've ever put myself in.
Mm-hmm.
But, cause like if the canoe had pinned me or something, then that would have been bad.
Yeah.
But, I remember summoning like what I can only describe as like the way that people describe, you know, being able to like lift cars off of, you know, like babies or something,
because right.
they just find the strength in them somehow mm-hmm. to do it.
Yeah.
But like, in my mind, it is probably the most I have ever physically moved in terms of like mass ever.
At once. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, when you think about stuff like these things, like what, like the Virginia Tech football players, I'm like,
yeah.
they probably would have just like pushed it out.
You know? Right.
Like,
yeah.
The strongest moment I can possibly think of in my life where I summoned like extraordinary strength, and they probably would have just been like,
no problem.
Yeah.
let me just grab that for you.
Right. So anyway, that's immediately what I go to.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah. Okay. So Paint Patrick's Day otherwise.
Paint Patrick's
Anything
Day.
Else going on at your house?
Nothing super duper in particular. I mean, this is the first time Nick and Nate have been like super aware of it in any capacity. And I think it's because like at school or at preschool, they're going to have like some sort of like, you know, they've been telling them that like a leprechaun's going to come to the classroom or they're going to try and catch it or something like that.
Oh man.
So Nick has been telling me all about his plans for whatever his like trap is going to be, where he's going to, you know, he's like, we're going to build just like a little wall and then the leprechaun is going to trip and then we're going to like trap it like with a cage. And I'm like, oh man, good plan. There you go.
This reminds me so much of like when we were kids and we would be like out in the neighborhood and you'd have like a snow day and it would be like, well, the main reason we're getting a snow day is because like it's not snowing anymore. Like in Roanoke, almost always it's not snowing anymore.
Yeah.
And like, so I remember we were like, well, if they can't plow the streets, then we don't have to go back to school. So like, this was probably me as like an eighth grader, like a kind of older kid.
Yeah.
And we would literally go in the middle of the street and make a physical wall of snow.
Wow.
In the hopes that the plow, which is huge, could somehow not just burst right through.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, you're like, it's like, this is going to work. Like the plowman's going to get here and be like, I'm going to have to turn back.
I have to turn around. This, I think, is like a version of the plot of the movie Snow Day.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm sure that a massive percentage of where the inspiration came from was the movie Snow Day.
Yeah. Which if you haven't heard of it, it was like the second Nickelodeon movie ever starring Josh Peck and all the kids have a snow day. And they're like, there's like an evil plow guy who is trying to plow all the roads so the kids have to go back to school.
Yeah,
and they're just like trying their best to stop him.
This is the perspective of kids.
I know.
It's like you're trying to take control over an aspect of something you have no control over.
Exactly.
Well, there's nothing better than a snow day.
There is nothing better.
But you know what's also funny is it gave us such an objective for the day. Like,
right.
It's like, you know, otherwise you're just building a completely useless wall that is not going to even slow down like the most pedestrian like vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, I think so often if when you're out just like you like at Disney World or like when we were in New York or whatever,
yeah,
just like if you can just come up with an objective, like that makes it gives everyone so much more like purpose that like we're moving in that direction.
Yes.
You know, and like whatever happens along the way, fantastic. You know?
Right.
Like even like when we were going, we had this like open afternoon and I think like Alice wanted to go to Central Park and it was like the idea of getting to Central Park was like a very good destination.
Yes.
Like we never actually made it.
No. But we got to go to a really cool Irish pub along
the
way.
We did. Yes. Yeah. Which was, you know, which is very fitting for, you know, a story for today because, you know, it's St. Patrick's Day. Paint Patrick's Day, as it were. Yes, that was a really cool Irish pub called Cassidy's, where all the people working there were actually Irish, which was kind of cool.
It was very cool. Yeah. I was like, wow. Can you say more things? Because I like the way your voice sounds.
I know. It was like, you guys just have the best voices in the world. And I wish I had a better Irish accent for you guys. Us here, the Kirelands, you know?
It's like, I feel like the best case scenario is you sound kind of like a Lucky Charms commercial.
Yeah, no, Ireland's. Yeah, but no, because our last name like is Irish. Like,
it is Irish.
You
yes.
know, and I think nothing. I remember one day in college also being, you know, at the liquor store, at the libation store,
nice,
and seeing a brand of Irish cream on the shelves by Carolyn's, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is like a version of our name.
Yes,
this is it. This is like where we came from. It's Carolyn's. Like, obviously, if you say it with an Irish accent, it sounds like Carlin.
Yes,
and like, ah, that was. I remember this. Like, I feel like very connected to that brand.
No, I know. I mean, it's in our heritage. Like, we've done like the ancestry thing before, and we are mostly the greatest plurality.
Yeah.
Of Irish.
Yes.
So it's the thing that we have the most amount of lineage from.
Yeah.
So I actually do think that it would be very cool to like travel to Ireland one day and see if we can't find like a Carlin like headstone or something. Like, that would be so cool. Be like whoa!
Our true ancestors or something.
Yes.
That would be very interesting to
what if there was like a Deathly Hallows like on the
oh my god.
Like, what
can't be.
We are wizards. I knew it.
Nothing. That would be so unlikely given the time Harry Potter was invented. But like if it had like a like the alchemical symbol for gold or something,
or like
the Philosopher's Stone symbol on it or something. Oh my gosh, that'd be it'd be like wow, wow.
We were meant for this.
It rang true.
Yes,
something in our DNA led us here.
I oftentimes think like this would be the coolest part if you didn't have a time machine, but you had like a time reversal viewing apparatus. So you could like not go back in time, but like witness the past.
Witness the past. Okay.
You know, because it would be so interesting to pull up like your ancestors or like all those who came before you and see if there's like any commonalities to like the sort of personality that they have that you may
that
also
you still have. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like through the ages, it's like, I still do that. Like, no.
Right.
Way. Like, that's so crazy.
That would be wild. That would be super duper interesting. And yeah, I'd be very interested in that.
Yeah. Go and take a peek.
Yes.
See what's going on back there.
Ben, do you know what today is also the anniversary of? Speaking of Irish things.
What's that?
It is 1 year ago today. We were in Washington, D.C. watching the Washington Wizards play the Boston Celtics.
I think you mean be slaughtered by, but yes. Yeah, but go on.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this was sort of a big day because, like, I feel like it like literally created like a new island in Jay's mind.
I do, yeah. I kind of felt like that. I didn't think that was going to happen. You know, I was like, yeah, we're going to a basketball game, but it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was a super, I mean, it was cool because we were seeing the Celtics on St. Patrick's Day, even not in Boston.
Right.
Which I was checking the schedule today. I was like, certainly they must be playing today because it's the Celtics and it's Boston and they're not, but whatever. Ugh. Apparently they need to really whoever's scheduling for them needs to capitalize on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, even when you brought this up and like, I'm sure that I knew it last year when we were going and everything. And I bet we even had conversations about it, but I was like, yeah, like we walked in, Jay was like, Ben, it's been like 1 year since we saw the Celtics play. And I was like, we saw them in D.C. There's no way that the Celtics wouldn't be playing
in Boston
on St. Patrick's Day. Like, you're being silly.
I know. I remember thinking that. I was like, this feels illegal. They like, what's going on here? Although for all intents and purposes, it was totally a home game when we were there for the Celtics.
It was just a wall of green.
It was a wall of green. It was 90% Celtics fans at the Wizards game.
Yes.
including us. We were contributing to that.
We were.
No, yeah. I would say we were contributing to that in clothing only at that point, as at that point it was just like, yeah, we need to be rooting for a team.
Right.
Yes. Since then, definitely very different. Been watching tons of the games. You're right, though. That was such an out of left field thing, too, because like I feel like Dad and Tyler had like sort of arranged it to like go see a basketball game, and Dad was like, oh, can we wait till the Celtics are in town? And then I feel like you and me just sort of got like added on to the trip as like, we may as well make it like a guy's weekend or something. And then we got there and I feel like I walked away with the most from it.
I think that there is no doubt about that. I mean, you like since then, I feel like you have gone out and you've been like shooting hoops by your solo. Mm-hmm. I feel like you've heavily invested into the Celtics brand in terms of just like, you know, even like when we went to Boston for our live show up there, it was like a point to go to.
Yeah, we had to go to the Garden.
Where
I got this hoodie that I'm wearing right now.
Which I was just noticing this morning. I was like, so Jay, is this hoodie like got like some intentional sort of like wear and tear built into it to kind of give it that like vintage look?
It does not.
And Jay's like, nope, I just wear it all the time.
This is my most worn article of clothing. It is so comfortable. When I reach my arms out, the sleeves do not move. I don't know what sorcery there is in it, but every other thing I own, my arms are too long for, except this sweatshirt, which makes it cozy all of the time. And also just like, it's fun. You can wear basketball gear like all the time because they're playing all the time.
It's never not in season.
So this was like my de facto, like wake up in the morning and put it on if it's still chilly kind of hoodie as well. So yeah, I wear this hoodie a lot. I also have green shoes to match the hoodie. You know,
you were just rocking it today.
We're rocking it today.
So yes. I'm almost surprised that St. Patrick's Day is not being a bigger deal to you.
Well, it was certainly, I mean, if there was a game tonight, I would definitely have like let the kids all stay up and watch it or something.
As like an occasion,
yeah, but there's not, which lame, but Yeah. So otherwise, have you historically done anything like big for St. Patrick's Day?
You know, me and Alice were talking about this as well, because I think that very early on in our relationship, we threw like a really big St. Patrick's Day party where we did do the keg. We put in like the food coloring and everything. And
nice.
So we had like, you know, like the green beer. And
mm-hmm.
you know, everything was super, super green themed and all that. And it worked out really well. But the thing I most remember about that particular occasion is that I'm pretty sure my now sister-in-law and me and Allie were like all setting up for the party like on a Friday night, like, you know, before the Saturday night party.
Yeah.
And while we were setting up, we were like, oh, like, let's drink some of like the green beer and like, you know, do like whatever. And like, we'll make it festive like while we're setting up the party.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, what really ended up happening was the three of us ended up just kind of partying maybe slightly too hard.
Too hard.
The night before a St. Patrick's Day party where I was going to have like 50 people at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that ended up being the thing was I think I went into it like a little bit like hazy eyed where I was like, oh no, I have made a grave mistake.
Oh boy.
That's okay. I just rallied.
That's funny. Yeah. The only other like big St. Patrick's Day story I can say I have was when I started working at the concert venue.
Yeah. Naturally.
The Roanoke Civic Center, as it were, not now. Now it's the Berglund Center.
Right.
But the first season I was there, like there was always a season of Broadway shows that would be coming through. And that year, the big Broadway show that we had coming through was The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
So you've heard of it. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a big one. We've been talking about Wicked and stuff lately. At the time, I wouldn't have said I was like a huge Wizard of Oz fan or anything. Like I'd seen the movie and it was like fine or whatever. But our general manager was a huge Wizard of Oz fan. She loved it and was so excited for this show to be coming. And so we had an entry in the St. Patrick's Day parade here in town, excuse me. And she had arranged for like this entire troop of guys to dress up as Dorothy and do like she called them the Dancing Dorothies.
Okay.
And they had like a whole choreographed dance and stuff. And we got, you know, before the judges table, they did their thing. But so then I had to also my job as like the new marketing person was to like just sort of like walk behind them and pass out like flyers to the crowd for the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, nice.
But of course, I had to be dressed in like Emerald City gear.
Oh, right. Okay.
Stuff. So I had this like big, long green tail coat and this like fruffed up yellow shirt and this, you know, big green silly looking hat and like the green glasses and stuff.
Wow.
I know. It was quite a get up, I'll say. But you know what? We won whatever entry we were in for.
Hey,
you
okay. Know?
There was that. So, and Wizard of Oz did very well. So it was great.
So it's a win-win.
Successful campaign, as it were.
It is very interesting to me. Yeah, because I think I remember you doing this.
Yeah.
And I think that it was almost like I was just kind of getting going in like the professional world myself. And I do feel like I was like, there's going to be some stuff I'm going to have to do that I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Well, like that is like the harsh reality. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think as time would march forward, I have never liked being in parades as an adult.
Dude, I think parades are like this is probably like a Ben hot take, but I feel like they are massively overrated events.
Yeah.
Like I don't know who the parade is truly most for.
Yeah.
And maybe it's one of those things like where I just need, like, I remember when I was a kid and you would go to a parade and the parade usually meant that the people on the floats were like throwing like candy into the street. And so it was kind of like a version of like trick or treating, but like, you know, they would throw like a handful, it would sort of scatter and like the little group of kids would like all run forward and grab like a piece of,
right,
you know, bit of honey off the ground.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's not going to break when it hits hard asphalt.
Exactly.
But otherwise, like, yeah, it's such a strange occasion, you know, like, I don't know, is it for the people who are on the floats? Because if you're on a float, like I remember doing that, like at the Boy Scouts and stuff, like you kind of feel special. Like everybody's kind of looking at you.
Yeah.
But then at the same rate, like when I'm a spectator, I'm not really looking at anybody
right
on the floats either. Like,
right.
You know, it's like you feel like you're in the center of attention, but like you're not completely.
It is. I mean, it is possible that parades in Roanoke are just like only so-so, I suppose. So
we live in like a medium parade town.
It feels like, okay, so a symptom sometimes of events in Roanoke is that they will, you know, they'll rent out a cool event space, like whether the, you know, the park or this location or wherever, and they will set up, you know, vendor booths all over the place to for whatever the theme of the event is. But a lot of times, whatever the theme of the event is, they will have a good number of booths that are about the theme, but they will have maybe way too many other booths that are just sort of booths.
Yes.
That are not like, you know, Burger Fest themed booths. They are just, we're a business in Roanoke and this is a high population zone, so we're here.
So we're selling Scentsy, plug-in,
yeah,
you know, so, like candle, like air wafters. What are those things called?
Right. So it's like there's a lot of that. It's like there were slots to fill and we didn't have enough people, so we just sold them to people because we, the event, still want a full event. Right. And it's better to have filled slots than no slots. So that I feel like there's almost, I feel like the parades in Roanoke get sort of that treatment sometimes where it's like, you know what? We're having the parade. Would you guys like to sign up so that we can fill the whole parade? And then it's like, or I can tell you that the at least on my end, why I don't like it is because I was never in the parade for something I was involved in. Okay. Right? It wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm in this group and we do this thing and look at us, come join us or whatever.
So maybe what need to do is completely 180 our experience here and start entering parades.
Okay.
As like a vehicle, and then like we have like a Super Carlin Brothers float.
Okay. I would be, see, that it already sounds way more fun.
Like you're already enjoying yourself.
I'm already enjoying even just thinking about it. Because whenever I was in a parade, one, I would like optionally not want to be there because I would be the one in charge at like the Berglund Center of like arranging what the entry was going to be, you know.
What the entry was going to be. What does that mean?
Like what we were going to put in the parade.
Oh wow.
I know.
That feels like a lot of creative responsibility being placed on.
Well, and you know what? It wouldn't even be that hard to be like, here's an upcoming show we have. Let's make that the theme. Let's put that in the parade. Except that it was like, there was no budget for it. You know, it wasn't like,
sure.
And the people we had to put together our quote unquote float were me and the other marketing person. You know, it wasn't like, you know, everyone come in on the weekend. We're all making some giant big float. You
right,
know, it was
right.
Like whatever you could throw together. So it was just like, it felt like you were like told you have to be in the parade. We're doing an entry. And it's like, great. What do you want us to do? You know, like there's not much just two of us can do. And or it'd be like, you know, we're in it and we just have to like walk the route and pass out flyers. So it's like, I've never been like in it in a non-working capacity in a way that like felt like I chose to be there. So yeah, that so far my experience being in parades as an adult, only so-so. And watching parades also just like, you know, take it or leave it.
I my mind is already feeling like you were talking and I was imagining the giant paper mache SCB head of our faces that we were going to make. And
right.
I was like, this seems like a good time.
Seems pretty good.
I need to go find some old newspapers, some
chicken wire,
yeah. some paint.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go to town.
We're going to go to town. We're going to have just like just the biggest float.
Yeah.
Super Carlin Brothers.
You know, this also reminds me of something else from elementary school that I feel like now when I look back on it, I'm like, that was actually pretty cool that we did that. Did you ever do it where in the art class we would like the whole school would like come together to make like a huge paper mache dinosaur?
Yes, I do remember.
And it was like, yeah, you would go in and you'd have like days where like you were just like applying like the newspaper to like the legs and like all the different like bits or whatever, but then you'd eventually like paint it green. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was like every class was going in and like contributing like a little bit more through all their art classes.
I feel like I remember doing it, but like our class was never like putting the paper was it also just like, I remember the chicken wire being shaped like it, but then I feel like you had to like fill it with newspaper too. Was
I think you felt. I think yeah, I do think you had to fill it with newspaper as well.
Yeah,
like,
so
it was
I feel
almost like a wooden structure, like a few pieces of like 2x4 that gave it like a skeleton, and then like chicken wire wrapped around it, stuffed with newspaper, and then you wrap the newspaper like sleeves, with whatever that like epoxy-ish type stuff is.
So I feel like I just didn't luck out everywhere I was in the class where we were putting the paper mache on. It was just like putting the newspaper in the chicken wire.
Oh,
which
no.
is just like boring, like stuffing it through the holes
and
not feeling like you made much of it. So yeah, I do remember it though. And it was kind of cool. I think in my brain, I was like, man, it's so sad that they like tear it down every year, but they must've just made a new one every year.
They must've just made a new one every year. But like, when I think back about that, I'm like, that was like a big, in my head at least. And of course this is probably like to scale, I bet it was actually like 8 feet long or something. But in my head, it was like 20 feet long and like 12 feet tall.
I know, like, but like
really big.
Right. But they could obviously fit it inside each classroom. Right.
I mean, unless they built it inside of the classroom. But how tall were those ceilings?
And
who was doing the head?
I know. I feel like, though, at least at that school, at our elementary school, I feel like the ceilings were kind of tall.
I think they were.
Because I remember the teacher having to get like on, because we would do like the thing where they would put like a ribbon around the top of the room and every day they'd like cross off another day.
Yes.
And so you'd like sort of count it up. And I remember like the teacher standing on a chair and reaching her arm all the way up and that's still not being the ceiling.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. You're right.
So it must have been pretty tall. But even that, they'd have to fit it through the doors. Right.
Well, not unless you built it. I mean, I don't know if it just stays in that room until they destroy it.
Right.
You know, like I don't know how they would ever get it out the door.
I know. I guess maybe they could like take the head off and then just like roll it through and then put the head back on or maybe something. So. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I am. As I think back, though, I'm so impressed they did that every year.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I mean, you're right. I do remember it being huge.
Like a production.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to get bust off our paper mache skills.
Yeah, I wonder. I bet I still have yearbooks from that school. There's got to be pictures of the dinosaur.
There must be. Because yeah, there's no way in the world you get to like yearbook time and they're like, do we include the giant 20-foot
dinosaur that the entire school built? It's like, right. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Does mom still have our yearbooks?
I at least have some in my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. We're going to have to dig through these.
We will. Okay. We're going to have to go investigate, see if we can't dig it up.
Maybe for no reason at all, we'll have a float that's just a giant papier-mâché dinosaur.
Yeah. We'll be like, what is that thing?
Maybe like, we wanted to make it.
We wanted to bring back our childhood.
Yes. So we did.
As it were. So yeah, we did. Look, people were like, do you guys have anything to do with dinosaurs or art or anything? And we're like, No, not even.
We had to look up how to do it.
We just, we thought it'd be fun to build and then we wanted to show it off. So here we are. Enjoy our giant dinosaur. You're welcome.
You're
Super
welcome.
Carlin Brothers.
Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Story time. When I was a kid, I wanted to build a treehouse. I couldn't figure out, though, how to get the wood into the tree and saved my money and walked to a hardware store to buy a pulley. It just never fully occurred to me that I'd not be able to mount the pulley way up high before I could put it to any use, and unfortunately, I was back to square one. And so then fast forward to adulthood, and all of a sudden, I had ideas. Even more ideas somehow, but had no idea how to mount the pulley per se. That is until Shopify. Jay and I use Shopify for our online merch store, The Mercantile, and my wife Alice and I use it for our consignment clothing business. And let me tell you what, it is a game changer. It's like buying the pulley already mounted to the tree. They've got easy to use templates so you can get your business going in no time, but then it's robust enough that you can really fine tune your page and make it uniquely your own in time. And it's because businesses that grow really do grow with Shopify, and it seems to grow with you at the same time. So upgrade your business, get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All right, Jay. I don't even know if it's a confession, a story.
A confession?
Like a I have always felt like on the pop, I've always been like really good about just like sharing the aspects of my life.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
And like, I never feel like I'm like hiding or disguising like major elements of who I am, but I have done a thing.
You've done a thing.
I've done a thing. And I was like, this would be such an interesting thing to talk about on the pop, but I am almost too afraid to do it. Like, even as I'm like talking right now, I'm like, it's okay. You still haven't said it out loud. We could still cut this. Like, you know, but once the editors and everybody knows that I've said it, then they're going to be like, well, we need to keep it in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there. So, okay. I'm still nervous. I don't know if I want to say it. You know what I'm talking about.
I think so.
You must know.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because I kept a secret from you guys until you finally noticed. And I was like, okay, well now... Now I gotta say something. Okay, here goes. I got Botox.
You got Botox.
Yeah, in my head, I'm on my forehead.
In your just on your forehead.
On my forehead,
right up here.
Yeah, on my forehead up here. So like when I tried, what's really giving me like the total heebs about it right now is that like I feel like there's a part that's not frozen right over the edges of my eyebrows. So now when I lift my like when I think I'm furrowing my brow, it gives me like evil man eyebrows.
Oh, it does.
I know.
That's so funny.
Oh man, so it's like oh. Oh, man, it's the reason I'm hesitant to bring it up is because one, it's like there's a huge part of me that is almost like this doesn't really fit who I am as a person all that much at all. Like it's not something I had like a deep amount of like being self-conscious about my appearance or that I think that people really need to do it or even that it's like my face is my brand and I need to be protecting it,
right?
You know, as like a as like an asset of who I am. Okay. as a person.
So what prompted you to try it?
Well, okay, so one of the things that I would say is that there's no doubt about it that I think that like, you know, we have started to physically age. Like I have like way more like gray hair, and if you see me in person, my beard is like half white, and mm-hmm. you know, the aging process is certainly being underwent. And whenever we sit down to film a video, like one of the first things we ever have to do is do this like super zoom on the person who's sitting in the chair. We usually have like a big monitor next to the camera so that the person on camera can see like what they look like and where they're positioned and like, you know, if they need to slide, you know, this way, that way or whatever, yeah. to stay inside of the frame. And so a lot of times what we'll do is we'll zoom in on one of our eyebrows just as like a key point, like to focus on the eyebrow.
Right. Like if you can make the, cause this is we're trying to adjust the focus so that we're very crispy.
Exactly.
And if you can adjust the camera lens so that their eyebrows are crispy, then you're very in focus.
Then you're very in focus. Yeah. It's just a good point to a point of reference to go off of. It's probably one of your eyes to be in focus, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And so in doing this, I think that I end up having a giant monitor super zoomed on my forehead quite often.
Yeah.
And I do think because I have like a rather like expressive face, I've had, you know, like the lines on my forehead. And it's like one of those things like where I don't really notice it. I don't really think about it. It's not really like a problem that I'm like, you know, preoccupied with
yeah.
in any way other than like when I like take selfies. And so like a lot of times, like, you know, we'll be like, you know, at Disney or whatever, and I'll go to like take a selfie and I'm like, oh man. But like even then, like when I go back and like look at the photos more than like a week later, I never think about it. It's only like while I'm taking
right.
the photo. So all that, no big deal. Not really all that concerned about it. But Alice has done this in the past as more of like part of like her overall skincare routine and like, you know, how she's like maintaining her appearance and stuff like that. And so I'm like at least adjacent enough to the process
right.
to have like not been so intimidated by it. I it even took her doing it for me to learn that there was like a difference between this and like what like fillers are. Like
I was gonna ask, so like yeah, because that's like filler and Botox are different things.
They are, yeah.
Right.
So filler is actually going through and like plumping. Like I think it's like adding
right.
like what, I don't know. I don't even know if it like makes natural collagen in your face. I don't really know how that
right.
works.
But like when you see like sometimes people and they like look like they're like inflated a little.
That's filler.
Yeah. That's not Botox.
That's not Botox. Yeah. Botox is just like freezing. So it just like makes it so that like it won't move.
And am I correct that Botox is not like a permanent thing?
It's not permanent.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it'll last like 6 to 8 months or something
okay.
before it would need to be like re-upped.
Oh, I see.
If I commit to that.
Right.
At the moment, I do not think I will.
You don't think so? Sort of like, so far, you're like, well, at least you can say you've tried it.
At least I can say I tried it. And I think that was like, to me, it ended up being more of an experience akin to like skydiving or something, where it was kind of just like, you know what? Like, I've tried it, you know, like I know it's a thing that exists out there. I know lots of people do it. And like, I don't think anybody should feel like they need to or that it's a problem if they do, you know, like on both sides of that spectrum or anything. But yeah, so it was just very weird and funny to have had this experience and like to be like looking at myself, because it takes like 10 days to like start to like really settle in. So I'm like, I'm still like the very beginning of it, but like there's been several times like where like I'll like walk past the mirror, like, you know, in my dining room or whatever, I'm like, what did I do to myself?
So like you notice it.
I notice
you
it.
Notice it a yeah, lot. Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, sure enough, I felt like last week we were all sitting down to do something and everybody was like, Ben, is there something different? And then like somebody else in the office was like, yeah, I've noticed something too. Like you look different, or like angry or intense, or
you definitely, I don't know. You looked like to me most of last week, you looked like down or something.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if maybe that was because like your eyes were just sort of like stuck, sort of like in like a, we can't be happy look or something.
No, I mean, I think that I was a little bit down last week as well. Yeah. Okay. I mean, possibly in part due to this exact thing.
Oh, okay.
I think that like, I was like, you know, you're like looking at yourself and having this like extremely bizarre, like morning sensation about like what I like, I'm like, why do I not look like how I'm used to looking?
Right. Like, and, yeah, like the, like, cause it is your, I know, like, it's like your, I felt that way a lot when I was growing the mustache.
Yeah.
Initially, yeah. Like I was having like, you know, cause there was a point there where it was like, okay, so for the first like month, I clearly don't have any like qualms about it because I'm just doing it to complete the challenge. But then post the month, it was like, okay, well now we're sort of fulfilling, like people raise this much money, so we're going to keep it for this long. And then it was sort of like, now you're just sort of keeping it. So now you're at a phase where you're like, you're deciding, is this what my face is going to be? And like, I've always shaved, and now I've got like this, and this feels like I would have like full on like stress dreams about it, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like wake up sweating, and it sounds so stupid. I know, but it's like, yeah, I think that's a little bit of the same thing. You're like, it's like your identity has been like changed or something.
Right. Yeah. Right. And what's funny, I mean, with like the mustache in particular, I feel like it was interesting because at first I think people were also like, it was also new to everyone.
Yeah.
But then it also seemed like once it got like so established, because like even that, like it was almost like funny at first, like, haha, like you're going to have to like have this for like tour.
Right.
You know, and like that was almost like the big like gag. It's like, well, surely he's going to like, you know, like by the time tour comes around, like he's not going to keep the bit going like while we're meeting all these people like all over the country and like taking tons of photos.
I know, like you got like four meet and greets coming up. You're going to meet 200 people and be in tons of pictures. Like,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, it would be like, I mean, not quite on the same scale, but it'd be like deciding to do like a change to your face's appearance like 3 weeks before your wedding day or something.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he grew a mustache right before our wedding.
Well, I even thought that. So in that time period before tour, but like post challenge, we were at the lake for the 4th of July last year. Do you remember?
Okay. Yep.
Yes. Because the whole family was there. And part of that trip was that we were going to get these like nice family portraits done.
Yes, for like we're having like a photographer.
Like
come
we
out,
had like a photographer a thing, come yeah. out, and we were going to have like a giant group family shot with all of the kids and cousins and spouses, and it was going to be, you know, we're all, you know, wearing like white and blue, and there's like a theme and everything. And the idea was to get like a giant print made to go up at like mom and dad's house.
Right.
Yes. And at this, it simply worked out that I am in the dead center of this picture.
Yes.
Because like I needed to be sitting down in the middle of the bench so that I could be holding the twins on either side of me.
Right.
Yeah. And so it works out that I am dead center in this picture, and I've got the mustache, and I'm like, this picture is going to hang in mom and dad's forever. Like, there's no way it's coming down. And if I, like, part of me was like, should I shave for this picture? Because like, otherwise, if I shave after this picture, then this picture hanging in mom and dad's house will forever still be that one, that 2 month period when I had a mustache.
That's exactly it. You're so right. And it, I mean, because it is funny, like, you know, sometimes you go back and you see photos of your parents when they were younger and they were doing some experimental hairstyle,
yeah,
or, you know, trying out the mullet, or, you know, doing a perm or something. I don't know, like, you know,
yeah,
something that was popular, you know, during an era of time where it either is in or out or whatever has happened in the time to come. And I feel like in our lives, mustaches have sort of gone like they've had like a roller coaster,
yeah,
you know, of like what people may think of it as like a part of your face or whatever. And so I could see like what that concern would be like. But now it's so strange, because it's like, now when I see pictures of you without it, it is really like, I can't believe you didn't have it.
It's so like, weird, like, isn't it?
Yeah,
I know. We were looking back at pictures today, like from when the twins were born, and like even then I didn't have the mustache, and I had like black framed glasses,
right?
And it was just like, and I had like a different haircut too, so it was like, it was just like such a, it's like crazy, because that really wasn't that long. It was only like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
you know? And it's like, for the most part, I wouldn't say my appearance changes like that much most of the time.
Right.
But certainly in the last like couple of years, I've, you know, went to the clear lenses, and I just recently started getting like the hard part in my hair, and now I've got the mustache. So I don't know, you know, changes happen.
And that, yeah, that's the thing, though. But like normally I feel like they happen over such like a what feels like longer period of time.
Yeah.
Like I even go back to like the pandemic, and I mean, for a little while I was doing like the yeard, which I don't know if I ever fully explained, but that the idea behind a yeard is like a year long beard where you just like let it go,
yeah,
for however long. And I think when I started doing that, it was because we had found out that like Alice was pregnant, and the idea was that, like, you know, it was like, oh, this will be fun, like I'll grow my beard while she's growing a human,
right? Yeah.
You know,
it's the same,
yeah. But like, I mean, there was so many weird things about the pandemic. Solidarity is more what I was going for.
No, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, it's not the same. No, I think, yeah, like I like this like solidarity angle of like, you know, yeah, like we'll be in there. But, you know, you're not really going places. You're not taking like photos at the winery on the weekend, you know, or the brewery, or like whenever you're hanging out with friends, because you're not hanging out with anybody.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've got like a random smattering of photos, because like we got Chewy during the pandemic. And so, like, you know, of course we're taking photos with him because he's like a brand new puppy and super adorable and stuff. But like sometimes it does blow my mind when I go back and look at those photos, because at no point did I ever think I had like a mountain man beard.
Right.
But then when I'm looking at some of those, I'm like, whoa.
Whoa, okay, man.
Yeah. Like,
look at that beard.
And it's like, you had some facial hair for a minute there.
Yeah.
Which I actually think it worked out well, because even before that, I would always say I had an air quotes beard. But like really in like 2015 through 2019, I had like a 5 o'clock shadow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was really not a beard.
Not a beard. Now you've got a beard.
Now I've got a beard.
I got a beard.
Now it's much more significant. But yeah. So I think that like doing something to my face that augmented it so fast, I was like, this is odd. And I don't know. I think at all times, even as I'm talking about it right now, I've got this like deep well of like unsureness about,
yeah,
how I feel about having done this. And the main piece of solace I have is that I'm like, if worst case scenario, 6 months from now, it'll just be like a funny story that's in my rearview mirror. And it's like, ha, I've done it. I've had that experience.
You did it. Now you can talk about it with like more certainty.
Yes.
And like a little bit more expertise.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But nothing was funnier than going in, because I don't think that I fell into the typical column of
clientele. Yeah.
Yeah, and the girls who were administering the work were having so much fun, I think, just trying to make me absolutely squirm. And I'm already bad with like needles,
yeah,
and like, you know, giving blood and stuff like that as it is.
Yeah.
And this is like, you know, going right between your eyeballs.
Oh man. So and yeah, that's like a needle.
It's like a needle.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. To do the thing. And so, you know, she's already like, okay, Mr. Tough Guy, which I'm like, I don't know if that, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if that's how I feel in this moment. But she's giving me such a hard time about literally everything. And then, you know, she puts like the first one, and again, it goes like right in between my eyes. And then I can feel the blood drain out of my face. I can feel myself get pale, have the cold sweat, you know, and she's like, I think at that point in time, like her facade and like all this like ribbing that she's doing breaks away, and she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah. Are you about to pass out? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe.
She's
like, do you want a stress ball? And I was like, yeah, I want a stress ball.
Yeah, give me the stress ball.
Give me a stress ball. So then I had a stress ball.
Nice.
And I got through the whole thing.
Very good.
Yeah, no. So anyway, it's been a really weird experience. And you guys noticed last week. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to have to come clean because I don't like having a secret.
I don't like having a secret.
So now you guys know I did it. And that's that. So if you're watching my videos and you're like, wow, Ben looks like someone who's laughing with like lightning bolts behind him, it's because my eyebrows are doing weird stuff.
It's so weird because like no one I wouldn't say I like noticed any like real difference in like your appearance. Like clearly you noticed it.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Like, and even that's interesting too, though.
Yeah.
That, like, because you probably look at my face more than I look at my face.
Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it wasn't super obvious to me that like now that you've said it, like I can like look at your forehead and be like, yeah, I guess it is a much smoother.
Huh.
Yeah. There you go.
Thanks for
noticing. This is one of those things that's like you notice more things about yourself than like anyone else does.
Oh, I know.
So often.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, anytime we take like a selfie, I'm always like, you know, if you do like a group selfie or whatever, it's like it may as well just be as me because I'm just staring at how dumb I look.
Dude.
You know,
but I always feel this way, too. I feel like there's like a selfie cooldown paradox. Where like we have the we were doing advertisements for them on Super Carlin Brothers sort of the tail end of last year, but it's a brand called Aura Frames, and
yeah,
they so we all have them in our houses and like the grandparents and stuff like that, but they're digital picture frames that just like swipe through like all your different photos and stuff.
Yep.
And I actually do think that they are awesome. Like it's a cool product, and like Addie loves seeing like herself pop up on it and the fact that like it scrolls through, or like it'll be a picture of like you and her and she's like, look, it's Uncle Jay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that all that stuff ends up being really neat, but the thing that I feel like I always learn with like the selfie photos is like we took a ton of them last year, like on the boat, for example. So like last night I saw those scrolling through, I'm like, oh my god, I love that. Like, what, that was such a good day with like all my buds,
right?
You know, out on the boat, like we were doing the thing, and I'm not thinking about how I think it's like a bad selfie of me anymore, but that
right.
day I almost certainly did.
Right.
Yeah. Why are we so hard on ourselves?
I don't know. People. Whatever.
People
being people.
Yeah. You mean us as a species?
Us as a species.
Okay. I thought you meant like people being mean to other people.
No. Yeah, just I don't know. It's easy to focus on so much on your own like faults, I guess.
I wonder, okay, like this is almost like one of those things.
Your perceived faults.
Perceived faults.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good save. But like I almost wonder if, like, you know, if you were to go back to, like, let's just say, like, early caveman days or something like that, like, all of a sudden, like you're, you know, you fell during a hunt and like your knee was badly damaged or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, not that you wouldn't be highly preoccupied if your knee was damaged in the modern era, but, like, you know, your knee is a vital aspect of your ability to, like,
provide
to hunt.
Yeah.
You know? And so I wonder what it is, you know, about, cause I mean, we've obviously kind of like fast tracked a lot of like how exposed we are to the greater world and, you know, our appearances and social media and all those types of things. But like, it is interesting. Like, or like, I almost even like wonder like the invention of like the mirror, if it like changed a huge, I guess, I don't even know if mirrors are invented or just,
like, discovered like reflections, because like water exists and stuff.
Yeah, water exists, but like, you know, having like like more easy access to your own reflection, like the speed at which you start to like associate your own marketability or something like with what you look like. And I don't mean marketability from like a like towards other people, I guess, like people's willingness to, I don't know, positively exchange with you or something. Mm-hmm. Like, Why do we zero in on these things so aggressively?
Don't know, but definitely do. Don't we? Like, I mean, even if you go back, like, you know, there's always like very fancily dressed people like throughout history.
True.
You know, like people have cared about it for a long time, like presenting themselves in a certain way.
You know, and I think about that, like, you know, we went to the Met while we were in New York City.
Yes.
So we were seeing like a lot of like these really amazing oil paintings of people throughout history. And there's no doubt about it that like when you see those people, like they look highly refined. I mean, there was like the era with like, you know, the wigs and like the powder and, you know, like all the various like outfits and buttons and like, you know, whatever that was going on. But like when you're seeing those things, we are seeing a glimpse into history, but not really what I can imagine is like everyday life in history.
Right.
Like, these were, you know, if you were having oil paintings done of you that are now hanging in museums, like, you're not seeing so much like the you know, air quotes, like every man.
Yeah, certainly not like the every man, just sort of like the upper crust.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, even that's kind of interesting because, like, you know, that's like we think about like the 1% now, and it's like how it's not necessarily always like the most relatable column of people because it's like a fairly small group of people who exist in a certain way with a certain lifestyle. Whereas like then the majority of everyone lives a more,
right,
you know.
But then it even seems that like the way they're dressing is a way to like further separate themselves, like,
also true,
you know, from people they might consider beneath them, wrongly so. But then you can see where if that's sort of the case, like, oh, like the more successful people dress nicer, then that how that would trickle down to where like people everywhere try and dress nicer as a way to elevate themselves.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a spillover effect.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, it's like, it's so funny. I feel like when we have conversations like this, because like a lot of times I'm like, when I like back up 10 steps, I'm like, okay, this is incredibly obvious. But like, then when you're like working through it as if it's like more of like a mental problem to solve, it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe I'm just understanding it on like a slightly deeper level.
Do you think that like right now, like people dress more casually than ever?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say so.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it feels, and I don't know to what extent that is in part dictated by like the pandemic, the work from home era, the, you know, the seismic shift that sort of took place in 2020 that like will probably always and forever leave a mark where like we as society, the zeitgeist, like everything changed a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how involved that was, because again, to go back to like your job at like the Berglund Center, like I remember when you got that job, and I want to say Dad took you shopping for like some suits and like shoes.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I went out and got like a bunch of different, like, you know, like slacks and shirts and stuff. Right. I didn't really need jackets or anything so much.
Okay.
Like I had like a black suit that, right, I would wear, because you had to like dress in a suit for like show nights and stuff.
Okay.
But that was pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that would be, that's like one of those curiosities as well. It's like, yeah, are places that used to require like a suit to come to work, like, is that still really a thing? Like, I guess like when we go like walk the streets to like go to lunch or something in downtown Roanoke, like you see more than no one, but certainly not the majority.
You see more than no one. And like, yeah, even when I worked there, it was like, you know, you were expected to wear like, you know, better than jeans. But
yeah,
like you didn't need to wear like a suit to work by any means every day.
Right.
And
right.
It almost seemed like, you know, like this is difficult to say, like men always had to wear like the, you know, kind of formal shirt and like the slacks and like some nice shoes. And it seemed like there was a lot more leeway on the women's side of things to dress like a little bit more casual, but still be considered nice enough to have come to work.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a, now I'm like, wow, I'm so out of my league here, but like, I feel like a sundress can be like more presentable in a formal environment while still being like a fairly,
I don't remember anyone going that far, but like just like more comfortable pants and stuff.
Okay.
Even stuff like that. But then even that, it's like, even though I had to wear like a button down shirt and like, you know, khakis or slacks or something, like it still was fairly casual feeling overall.
Okay.
Like it wasn't like, you know, like going to like a lawyer's office or something where everyone's absolutely dressed in a suit,
right,
every,
right,
day. But then like, you're right. Even when I see people like walking, I feel like maybe we just don't live in a very formal part of like Roanoke's just not a very formal place.
Yeah.
In general. Like even the people I see walking around in suits, they never look like, wow, that person has got like a $10,000 suit on or something, you know?
Right. Well, you know, and it's funny too, because I think like during different eras of your life, you might like hyper fixate on things that feel more like extraordinary or something based on like, I don't know how to best describe it. Like, I feel like when I graduated college and I would have had like the knowledge of how much, like, you know, hundreds of dollars, $300 to go and buy like a suit or something, it was like, where do people get this money from?
Right.
Like, even if I have one, what do I wear the next day?
You right.
Know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like that. Like, I mean, for me to outfit 5 days of work, like, you know, it's like, I don't know how people are achieving
Yeah.
Like such ends.
Well, I've seen, there's been like every now and then I'll come across like some sort of like Instagram or like TikTok or something, and it'll be like a men's fashion thing, and there'll be like, get these five jackets, these five shirts, and these five pants. And it'll be like, you know, tan, navy, gray, black, and something else.
Okay.
And it'll be like, and it's like, great news, with just these 15 items of clothing, you now have like, you know, whatever the math is, combinations of clothing. You literally cannot mess it up. They all go with each other. Mix and match as much as you want. That's it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll see those and I'll be like, I should do that. I should just get those things. And then I'm like, I don't wear suits ever.
Right, right. Like, yes. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
I've got, but then now I'm at a state where it's like, not never, because sometimes I go to like a wedding or there'll be like, we're going out to some fancy dinner party or something, need to wear a jacket. And it's like, I've somehow gotten to the point where the only real suit I have is that like red one.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of a loud suit or whatever. It's like, it stands out because
sure.
It's red. And I'm sort of like, I kind of keep wearing this one over and over and over. And I feel like if you wear the same like black or blue suit, people probably don't notice. But if you wear the same red suit a bunch of times, it's like, that's, you keep wearing that one.
Yes. Yeah. I know what you mean. Cause I have like my fun collection of like jackets.
Yeah.
And it's the same problem where it's like, you know, if you go to an event and everybody's like, whoa, cool jacket. Then you go to the same event and you're wearing the same thing. It's like, weren't you wearing that last time?
Yeah. Come on, Ben, mix it up.
Yeah. But anyway, so I think like when I go back to those early days, I can't tell if I was hyper fixated on the idea of suits because I couldn't figure out how to like buy them, you know?
Uh-huh.
Cause it was like, I don't like, you know, how do you get to, it's exactly the same thing. Like when you're in like a job interview and everybody wants you to have work experience, but you can't get work experience until you get your first job.
So right.
It's like, you know, you're in this like weird cyclone of like, I don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
In order right. to like kind of get the old
internships. Stuff.
Right. Yeah, right. Whatever. The foot in the door. But so then I was actually thinking about this the other day as well, is that, this would even just go back to me living in a way that I thought was like interesting or extraordinary, or like I was like super outgoing or something, that I also feel like when it happened, I was like, now this is a story that I'll have for the rest of my life. And now I'm like, this story is not even worth really telling. But I don't know if you remember or not, but when you were living in college, I think your first year at Virginia Tech, you were staying in an apartment complex that had like
Windsor Hills
that had a communal yep. swimming pool.
Yes, it did.
Okay. And so I remember I came up to visit you once, I want to say for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
would most likely be like the time frame, so like would have been like early February, and it must have not been like absolutely freezing outside or anything, but the pool was like uncovered.
Yeah.
And I remember like me and like one of the guys who was like hanging out with us or whatever, we like went out, like basically like stripped down to our boxers and like did backflips
into the pool. Yeah.
And I remember at the time I was like, dude, look at me go, like I have done such extraordinary like
well, I mean, because you were still in high school then, right?
I was still in high school.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, absolutely. Be like, what'd you do this weekend, Carlin? And be like, oh man, I'm just visiting my brother up at Tech. You know, we were like crashing in the pool at like 1 a.m. doing backflips and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It felt like I was like, man, what a crazy thing that I did.
Right.
You know? Like I was. I mean, and truly, that's how I felt about it. And now I'm sort of like, this is not even a good story. Like,
no, it was a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you brought that up. I was literally looking at pictures from that exact event just the other day.
No way.
And
why?
I was like, I don't know. I think I was just scrolling back through my phone and it was like, why wouldn't you even have a smartphone? Where would I have even seen these? Why would I have come across them? Maybe I was looking at old pictures on Facebook or something. That must have been it.
I was gonna say Facebook feels like the spot.
Absolutely does. And I remember being like, oh man, I completely forgot this. What a fun night. That was so cool.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah. It was
well,
fun.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what I think it was? Yeah, we'll tell the story as well. So we were, I was looking at pictures from your bachelor party.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
I mean, I do remember my bachelor party.
Yeah, parts of it. Yeah. Classic bachelor party.
I remember, I remember doing, there was like a basketball, there was a pool. We had like the basketball hoop in the pool. We had, we did a roof beer with our buddy Trey.
Yeah, we did, where we poured the beer off of
it. We had a keg. I remember doing like keg stands for like the novelty of it.
Yep.
We did, Mike made really good steaks and breakfast.
Yep.
Remember all that? Yeah. All around good trip.
Do you remember when the GMA just abruptly left the party?
I do.
The beach?
Yeah. I remember that as well.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
So basically we were at Virginia Beach, but we were like in a neighborhood and it was like, there was water everywhere, because it was like the backyard had like a swimming pool, a hot tub, and there was just like a lake.
Inlet? Just like an inlet, something.
But
we're then, at Virginia Beach.
Yeah, but then if you were to like go out the front door and like go like four blocks down the street, then it was just like Virginia Beach, like mm-hmm. the ocean. And so one night we all just decided to go for a run barefoot, as we so.
I was
often.
Gonna say, pretty sure we were barefoot.
Yeah, yeah. So we like leave the party and like all these people who were like all hanging out with, and the four of us just branch off and we ran down to the beach and went skinny dipping.
Yeah,
and I remember
just gonna slip that in there.
And we went skinny dipping. But like even that memory would then take the college memory and sort of like replace it as like the next more ambitious thing
uh-huh.
that I had ever done in life.
Right.
You know, it was sort of like, whoa.
Whoa, my goodness.
But then I feel like people were not pleased with us because like we came back and we're like, we did a really cool thing. And they're like, why did you not tell anyone where you were going?
Nah. They totally understood. It was fine.
Yeah.
I think my opinion was that we, as I feel like Beth, the way she told it to me, it was that like, me and you and John and Mike just like disappeared at like full sprint, and like Beth was just like, we were like, wait, where did those guys go? And she was just like, nah, they'll be like, that's just, they just do that.
They
do.
Nothing more true.
Nothing.
About like, the GMA right, at that point just, in our lives.
Just happens. Yeah. You can't stop those four.
They will. They'll come back.
They're going to do something. They're going to come back. They're going to do something.
She was like, I'm going to have to hear this story for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens every single time the GMA is together. Like all of the wives have to hear us tell the same stories and regale all of our awesomeness.
But they're like really good stories.
I mean, they're like really good stories.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, can you
I do remember. It? Yeah. That's like the only time I've ever done any kind of skinny dipping at all.
Really?
Yes. And
he says as some,
yeah, clearly not you.
People are like, all right, Ben, we're starting to learn more percentages of who you
I
are.
I know.
Person.
I remember all four, we all separated really far apart from each other, like down the beach.
It's like give each other like 80 yeah. feet.
Well, because here's the thing. I don't think like all of us like we knew we were doing it together, but I think all of us equally distrusted every other member
yeah.
there to like not. To not do it or to steal your clothes.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
And it was just like, no, 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 no. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not to throw John it, under the bus.
It would have been in character for any of the four of us to do it.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. Wait, I mean, do you mean to skinny dip or to steal our clothes?
No, to steal the clothes.
I think any of us could have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yes. It would not have been unexpected from any of the four of us to do it to the rest of the group.
Right. Yeah. Right. And at which point, all I can imagine is because I mean, for whatever reason, I am certain I would be the one who would be just like left stranded and would like come sprinting back into the party with like banana leaves, straight Tarzan style.
No, but yeah, did it, ran into the ocean, got back out, returned to the party, nothing, you know, what's happening, guys? What happened?
Everything was well.
Yep.
We do have a picture fully clothed after doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I'm wearing like the first ever piece of Super Carlin Brothers merch, which is like the red t-shirt that said, "Hey brother."
Oh, nice.
I think that's what I'm wearing.
Very good.
On that particular occasion.
Super.
Yeah.
Super.
Carlin
Brothers.
Hey!
Woo! Did the thing.
We did the thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's some good not so coverage for the day. Told some of our more embarrassing stories.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Oh, no yeah. doubt.
I had to bring you down with me.
Thank you.
Know?
It's thank
like
you
if
for
I'm,
that.
If I'm talking about the Botox, and I mean, I gotta. It's like, we all make silly decisions sometimes, don't we?
Dude, you know, that's what life is. You just got to make a bunch of silly decisions,
right? And then you look back on them, and then you're like, wow.
Here's the
so
thing.
Funny.
Here's the thing.
Okay, what's the
thing? In terms of like Botox, mustache, just silly decisions, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've talked about it before. Like me and Beth watch Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link.
Yeah.
Like on the daily. Or whatever. And I always like that, you know, it's such an easy channel to feel like relatable to given what we do, because it's just like Rhett and Link have been friends since they were like, you know, five, and they grew up in North Carolina and they have a YouTube channel together, and it's like, you know, they're as close to being brothers as you can be.
Right.
And I feel like it's just like a very similar kind of like path, but they're like 10 years older than us. So it's just like, it's easy to look up to them and be like, oh man, like what, how inspirational or whatever. Or like, I just like generally like their like approach to life a lot of times. But they've got like the, they made a couple years ago, like the Book of Mythicality or whatever, which is like, you know, how to be mythical or how to, you know, introduce mythicality into your life. And it's interesting because they've clearly put some like thought into like what that specifically means.
Okay.
But like, if you've watched them over the years, one thing you'll absolutely notice is the way in which their personal hair has changed a lot.
Okay.
Like they literally like what, like when we started watching, Rhett had hair he would like spike up and it was like very short, and Link had hair that came down to like his shoulders.
Okay.
And since then it is like basically swapped. Like they literally recorded a song back then called like His Hair Goes Up, My Hair Goes Down.
Okay.
And like last year they re-recorded the record where they sang the opposite parts.
Wow.
I know. I was like, first of all, that's such an amazing idea.
That is very good.
But because now their hair swapped, they're like, we gotta switch it. So they just swing the up. I think they bet it on a record and they put like one version on one side and the other version on the other side.
That's really cool.
Which is very funny.
Yeah. Love that.
But anyway, part of like one of the things of the Book of Mythicality is like make a bold hair choice.
Okay.
And it's sort of like, and like even when they talk about their hair now, it's like, even though it is like very distinctive, they don't talk about it like this is probably the hair I'll have forever. It's like, this is what the hair I have now. But it's like, and I think hair is a good starting point for that. But just like, if you just remove that, it's just like make a bold choice, I think, is sometimes just like a really good like mentality.
Oh yes.
For
yeah,
like
yeah.
How you do stuff. Just like you could do it the regular way, or you could or you could just make a bold choice. And I feel like I think about it like all the time.
Right. No, I mean I definitely understand, I think, where you're coming from, because I think like when I went to get like my, you know, my tattoo, I sort of felt that way. Like
exactly. That's a great example.
Yeah. Like I remember, and like they ended up coming out kind of weird because I was expecting to do my tattoo on the other side of my arm when I went. So like the night before I went to get my tattoo, I was like making all these like videos in the hotel room to like pass the time by myself.
Yeah.
Of me just like sort of explaining like how I was here and how I had no idea what was going to be like on this part of my arm tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, but I do think at some point in that process of like going in, it was like, you know what? Like I've wanted to do this for so long that it's almost like it almost doesn't matter what happens, because like for me, I am like checking a box that I know I want checked. Like I really want to have like tried it. I really want to have had this experience because I think I've wanted it for most of my life, you know, like
right.
It's been like a long time coming. And yeah, so I think that's exactly what it was, where it was like, you know what? I'm kind of going off the path a little bit here. I'm kind of stepping away from what feels like the very like insulated, the like, you know, heavily air quoted normal that I would have like established for myself.
Right.
You know, and it's like, okay. And I feel like what was great about doing that was I felt like it broke down some walls. And when that wall came down, which wasn't even that momentous really in the scheme of things, I feel like other walls around it also came down at the same time. And like, I feel like it's funny because like when you do break those things down, you start to feel more comfortable inside of your own skin, even if it's like, no matter how the image on your arm, you know, like fades with time in terms of like how you relate to it or like what it means to you, or, you know, like, oh, I was in my 30s and I thought I, you know, would go do something fun or whatever. It's like it still has like helped me learn more about who I am as a person in the process. And
yeah.
I bet the same for you with the mustache. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I've seen your own personal style like evolve, like to be more adventurous and like it's almost like there's like clothes that I feel like you wear where it's almost like the mustache is like part of the outfit, even though it has nothing to do with the fibers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I felt like that, like once it like fully grew in and stuff, that like I would put clothes on and be like, these clothes, like they go more with the mustache than they did before.
Right. Yes.
It was like, yeah. It's like almost like you were like a part of me was like, yes, this is the vibe you're going for. And it's like you were like building around it, even though that part of it wasn't there yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
So it was like, yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, there you go. I'll leave you with that. Make a bold choice.
Make a bold choice. There you go. Yep. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much, as always, for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you have any feedback for us, which hopefully isn't like, Ben, I can't believe you, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, we would super appreciate it at patreon.com/popcornculture. Link to all those in the description down below. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.